Welcome to Politics is Vocal. I'm Joseph G. of Dorrville.org, and I'm here today to talk with Bob Roche, Democratic candidate for the 81st Georgia House District. Thanks for joining me today, Bob.
Thanks so much for having me.
Although you've lived in the area for a while, a lot of folks in Dorrville and Chamblee may not know much about you. Can you tell me a little bit about yourself and what led you into this race?
Well, I've lived, as you mentioned, in what's now District 81 for over 10 years. I lived at the variations down at Buford Highway and Claremont Road for 9 years, and a little over a year ago, I purchased a house in Dorrville. I've moved around a lot. I was in the military. I lived in Orlando for 9 years. Spent a year in Winston-Salem, North Carolina before I moved here to Atlanta. Been doing a lot of traveling for the last several years. I'm an independent consultant working with business processes, usually IT related stuff. As far as getting involved with this race, all my life I've never really been able to get involved politically because I've had different jobs, different things, different travel situations or whatever. And, you know, frankly, life has been halfway decent to me. You know, I've done better than a lot of people. And I felt like it was just time to do my part.
Okay. Well, you're running against a pretty seasoned political opponent. What do you feel makes you the best candidate for this state house race?
First of all, the fact that I'm not a seasoned political person. I'm not a career politician. Don't plan to be. I honestly believe in the concept that people should be represented by people. I think that we might need to make it easier for just the average person on the street to get involved with the government. Not so much, I mean, obviously with the campaigning, et cetera, but the obstacles to running for office and serving are just so high right now. I think that pretty much nowadays, if you want to run for office, you need to have a lot of money and a lot of time. I don't have either, frankly. But you know, I'm more willing to make the effort because until people like myself get there to where we can change the process somewhat to make it easier for people who want to get involved and have something to offer, then it's just going to stay the same.
Speaking of just people running for office, are there any kind of electoral reforms that you would support if you were elected to the state house?
Absolutely. I think we need to look seriously at publicly financed elections. One of the biggest problems we have today is that fundraising, and many candidates find themselves going out and getting large contributions from oil companies, drug companies, large corporations. In my particular case, my campaign accepts no money from corporations. I will accept money from small and medium businesses that are within the district or nearby. But that's the whole thing. When the phone rings and it's Shell Oil, I don't want to have to feel like I have to answer. I want to answer the phone when it's the people that I represent.
One issue that I think is pretty important to people in the 81st District is transportation. Dorrville and Chamblee are both home to MARTA stations. There's actually a big debate about denser development around those stations, and I'm just wondering what kind of transportation policy you would support in if you were elected to state representative.
Well, you said state representative, and that's the way I would look at it. Currently, I think there are at least two or three different organizations working on Atlanta area transportation issues. There's GERDA, there's ARC, there are a couple of different organizations all elbowing each other trying to make policy. Georgia has a Department of Transportation. Currently, that Department of Transportation is pretty much only interested in building roads. Then we have these other organizations that talk about public transit, you know, like MARTA and et cetera, et cetera. I believe that we need to work towards a consolidated Georgia Department of Transportation. It would be reconfigured. It would need to be, obviously, because this is, I believe, a statewide issue, not just an Atlanta area issue. Currently, MARTA gets no funds whatsoever from the state government, or at least from the state, and we need to change that. Currently, gasoline taxes are only good for building asphalt, building new roads. We need to change that, too. We need to work towards a comprehensive solution to transportation statewide.
What would be your number one goal if you elected our representative in the 81st district?
Well, my number one goal, that's kind of hard to say because I have a couple. I think the number one goal, though, would be to, first of all, if we can't do anything else, we need to restore the quality basic education dollar amounts to our kids in schools. Currently, in DeKalb County, our kids are getting over $200 per child per year less than they did 4 years ago. What that translates into is a tax increase for property owners and for renters too, because you know property owners must pass their tax increases along to the rent.
Do you support a city of DeKalb County?
I do not.
Okay. Care to elaborate?
That's my number two thing, is I believe that we absolutely need to change the structure and the makeup of how DeKalb County is set up. The concept of a single CEO who basically is de facto mayor of over 700,000, almost 800,000 people, I don't believe that works. I think that the right way to do it would be to, currently there's 9 county commissioners, 7 of them were smaller districts and 2 super districts. I believe we need to maybe go to perhaps 15 districts so that when someone elects or votes for a county commissioner, there's actually representation on a county commission board. I believe the CEO office, I don't really have a problem with having that, but I think it needs to have a lot less power, that it should be driven by the people in the county commission. We shouldn't have the CEO calling all the shots. That way, if you have a problem with your own particular neighborhood, you want to do some speed bumps or whatever in your neighborhood, you should be able to talk to your own county commissioner who's familiar with your district and even has maybe a budget within your own district, so they can actually get something done. It doesn't take like an act of God practically to get anything done in DeKalb County.
How about the proposed new cities in DeKalb County, Dunwoody and Tucker? What are your feelings on creating either of those entities?
Well, as to whether or not it's a good idea, I don't know because I don't live there. The number one thing that's most important is that the people that are involved need to have a say in whether or not these things happen, whether or not these cities are created, and the makeup of them, how they're going to be.
But I believe that if you were elected, you would be one of the people to help make that decision, wouldn't you, just as a DeKalb County legislator?
Well, to an extent, but I also remember, these things get on ballots.
Mm-hmm.
Recently they voted to create Sandy Springs and a couple of other towns.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a ballot initiative. It was actually on the ballot for voters to go and vote on, so they can say, do I want to be part of the city or not? So that's the important thing, is that the people get a chance to make their own decisions, particularly on things that such as this, that affect them.
Whatever happens to the current site of the GM plant in Doraville, the state is going to play a fairly large role in deciding what ends up there. If you get the job in the Gold Dome, how would you try to help shape development there?
Well, again, I think it comes back to what's best for the people that live in the area. I understand that, yes, of course, we have to accommodate the people that want to make investments there, because otherwise they wouldn't. I understand it's going to have to be a brownfield situation where, because there's so much contamination there, we probably wouldn't be able to build, things right at that level. The ideas I've been hearing lately are something like an Atlantic Station type of thing. But, before we do that, we really need to look at that part of the 285 arc. That section of 285 arc, day or night, we all know there's always traffic problems there. We need to look at addressing those issues before we go building high density, high traffic development in that area.
Do you have any thoughts about how the 285 Spaghetti Junction area should be improved?
No, I don't. Frankly, I just know that it needs to be
changed.
There's going to be experts, obviously, that know how to do this. I mean, I've seen it from the air. I've flown over it, and it looks very complicated as it is. One of the things that elected officials need to be willing to do is to reach out to people who are experts in various areas, such as education and traffic, et cetera, and find out what they have to say about it, and then support those.
So-called social issues are probably going to be a big subject in the next 2 years in the legislature. What are your positions on abortion, adoption of children by gay folks, and domestic partnerships being recognized in the state of Georgia?
No, that's three different questions. The first one is?
Abortion.
I think that they need to be safe, available, and rare. I think we need to do that by having real sex education in schools. We also need to do it by creating an environment, an economic and social environment that reduces and relieves the pressure that we have on families today. You know, when you're trying to raise a family and you have two kids, the choice of whether to bring another child in, when you don't know if you're going to have a job next week, when you don't know if your next job that you get is going to be, you know, a lower salary than it was before, if your property taxes are going to go through the roof. Now, having said that, ultimately, I believe that people need to have a choice of what happens to their own bodies. The second issue was?
Gay adoption.
Gay
adoption, letting gay couples adopt children.
Yeah, I don't think that, you know, whether someone's gay or black or female or whatever should have anything to do. I think that the primary, in fact, the sole thing should be, are people able to provide a decent and loving and nourishing home for children? I don't believe in discriminating against anybody under any circumstances.
My final part of that question was recognition of domestic partnership relationships in the state of Georgia and possible benefits associated with recognition of that sort.
Well, this is an interesting issue because the business is taking the lead on this. You know, several businesses, several companies, several organizations. In fact, the Doraville City Council has already is extending domestic partnership benefits. And, you know, I'm very much for that. Whether it's going to happen at the state level, you know, we've seen what's happened with the Amendment 1 recently. Mm-hmm. And I think that for the moment that that's a dead horse, unfortunately. I think that ultimately, I think it's maybe an idea that came that's a little before its time. We have to remember that 60 years ago, or thereabouts, it was illegal for a black person to marry a white person. You know, and there's a lot, you know, there's still a lot of work to be done, obviously, in that area. But you know, I think I'm very much for it. I think it's
so fantastic. If just, and I'm not saying that legislation for this is going to come up in the session. I'm just wondering, would you support it if it did?
Absolutely.
Okay. So far, this has been a pretty quiet race. I'm just wondering what we should expect from Bob Roche in the next few weeks before the election.
I think more of the same. I've been out walking the district. I think that that's the way to meet voters. Again, as I mentioned before, since my campaign doesn't get these large corporate donations and large corporate contributions, I can't send out 15 mailers. I can't put a yard sign on every single lot. But I can go out and meet people face to face. And I think that's the right type of campaign to run. I don't see why it should take more than $50,000, for instance, to run a state house campaign. And, you know, as I said before, my opponent's going to have several times that. I understand that. But I think that as long as we let the people with the big money win all the elections, then that's what we're going to get. And I think people are ready for something new. I think people are ready for a new kind of politics where people that represent them, not the corporations who finance their campaigns.
Well, Bob, I want to thank you for coming here and taking the time to talk with me today. Are there any final words that you want to leave our listeners with?
Well, just that, you know, I think I've kind of said it already, that it is time for government to get back and be representative of the people themselves. Also, I'd like to thank you very much. You know, it's very difficult sometimes to get the message out, and particularly in the mainstream media or whatever, particularly for smaller races such as this. You know, like I said, we don't have a lot of money to go out and buy all this advertising and everything. But thanks to people like yourself and this organization and the podcast, you know, average people get a chance to find out what's really important in their lives.
It's all about giving people voices. So anyway, I really appreciate you being here, and I wish you best of luck. Thanks a lot, Bob.
Thanks very much.